the supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging, and to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it. And leave no grief unless Thou takes it away. And leave no enemy. And leave no enemy unless Thou repelst him. By means of in the name of Allah, the best of the names. In the name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is His anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is His good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from Thee, O Patron of Beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this program, today's special from IRIB English Radio. On today's special, we're going to speak about conception of death in Islam.
Every time I close my eyes, I see in front of me. I still can hear your voice calling out my name. And I remember all the stories you told me. I miss the time you were around. I miss the time you were around. But I'm so grateful for every moment I spent with you. 'Cause I know life
won't last forever.
Today, Monday, is the 20th of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 15th of Day, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 4th of January, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran, we look at chapter Sajda, we listen to verse 11.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَى رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ.
Say, the angel of death will take you, who has been entrusted with you. Then to your Lord you will be returned.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The verse here implies that you should not imagine that your personality depends only on your body, but the basis of your personality is formed by your spirit. Death does not mean annihilation and destruction, but it is a kind of taking the man's soul by angels, and soul forms the most essential part of man's existence. The soul has come from the side of Allah, and once it will surely return to Him again.
I've seen, it's been seen before, but it hurts just like a thorn, a pain I never felt before. My heart said, just speak the truth. My mind said, don't be a fool, I need to get something off my mind. Don't let this silence be misunderstood. I don't know where my heart will take me, but I know your light will protect me from this fragile world.
On today's special, we're talking about conception of death in Islam. Death in Islam and in all divine religions is nothing more than a transition. It is like a passage through which you enter another world higher and more advanced than the present one. It is therefore a birth to an eternal life. From the Islamic point of view, there are at least three different interconnected stages of life. Each one comes after the other. Also, each one is more perfect than the one before. The first is the world of matter in which we are living with both our body and soul. The second is named the world of barzakh, or intermediate, which is the world of souls. The third and final world is the hereafter in which every soul will unique with its origin worldly body. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about how to get prepared for receiving death. Everybody should be content with the divine provisions or the divine decisions. Certainly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the deity, doesn't wish bad for anybody. Of course, in some cases, we receive the consequences of our own deeds, both in this world and in the hereafter. And we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is kind to everybody, to all people. It's because of this that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to address people, He addresses them as my servants. I mean, this my servants shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very much kind to His creatures, and especially to people. Another consideration based on Quranic instructions is that when a person has done good in this world and has been very much careful not to commit any sin and to live a pious life, at the end he receives the divine call in this way, Ya ayyatuha an-nafs al-mutmainnah, O assured soul, irji'i ila rabbik radiyatan mardiyya, come back to your Lord, radiyatan mardiyya, well pleased and well pleasing, fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati, may you come in the company of my servants and may you enter my paradise. This my servants and my paradise shows that everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the ultimate and the real owner of the whole world, of everything.
Look at death as a beautiful gift for a believer, as the bridge of crossing. In some of the traditions, death has been referred to as a bridge over which people at the time of transfer from this world to the other world shall cross and reach their goal, which is the other world. For example, Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, on the day of Ashura, speaking to his loyal companions, said, Remain firm, O sons of noble people, because death is just a bridge which will cross you and transfer you from discomforts and troubles into the extensive gardens of paradise. So which of you does not desire his freedom from prison and entering into a castle? Of course, death for your enemies is like their being transferred from a palace and a castle into prison and torture. Concerning this, Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, has said, This world is like a bridge. Cross it and do not build on it.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I when I have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are alive. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in life, a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you.
Now, an interesting question. How do we prepare for the journey of death? Look at it as provisions for the road. Know that sufficient provision for this journey is in obeying Allah's commands, abstaining from His prohibitions, and striving to perform numerous extra good deeds. Good works are a means of elevating one's spiritual rank. The more good deeds one performs, the more one increases in safety and faith. In regards to the commandments of Allah, the servant should begin with the fundamental pillars of Islam, such as the ritual prayer, the poor dew, and the pilgrimage. If one finds a shortcoming in his or her performance of one of these acts, one should seek to remove the burden of responsibility from oneself by making up for them. In conclusion, provision for this journey consists of commission or omission of acts in accordance to Allah's commands and prohibitions.
Kumail ibn Ziyad al-Nakhai says, one day Amir al-Mu'mineen told me, "Ya Kumail, let's take a walk." It was the middle of the night. He said, Amir al-Mu'mineen took my hands, he took me all the way to the deserts. He said that I saw something extremely hurtful. He said, I saw Amir al-Mu'mineen put his head inside the whale. And he was speaking for a long time. He got out. I said to him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, what are you doing? You're speaking into a whale? He said to me, Ya Kumail, Ya Kumail, innaha huna ilman jamma. Ya Kumail, there is so much in this chest. It's about to explode. I have to speak it. And there is no one that can carry this knowledge. There is no one that can carry the weight in my chest. So I'd have to end up speaking to the whale. Look at the patience of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And then he said, he made a circle around me and he said, Ya Kumail, you cannot leave the circle. I'm about to go and converse and speak to someone and return. So he said, Imam Ali left for a long time. He said, I was extremely scared. I said, what if they hurt him? What if the enemies have gone to him? What if he's been attacked by a lion? He said, I went and I saw Amir al-Mu'mineen dead, laying dead. He said, I went, I said, Ya Imam Ali, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ya Aba al-Hasan, Ruhi laka al-fida, nothing, no response. He said, I began to cry and to weep and I ran towards the house. I ran towards the house and the immaculate wife of Mawlana wa Sayyiduna Amir al-Mu'mineen says to him, this happens to Ali every day. When he converses with Allah, when he spends time with Allah, when he thinks of the Akhirah. And this is the legacy that Amir al-Mu'mineen left behind, and this is the legacy that our ulama have left behind, and this is the legacy of a person that thinks of the Akhirah, puts the Akhirah in front of them.
I think death is an interesting topic to discuss about, so inshallah we continue on the next episode of today's special. Till then, fi amanillah.
Yourself, can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves, isn't this proof enough for us?
Food for thought.
Well, dear listeners, and for your information, the Prophet of Islam's divinely designated successor, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, said in one of his sermons, if you like, I will tell you about Jesus, the son of Mary. He used a stone as his pillow, wore coarse clothing, and ate rough food. His stew was hunger, and his lamp in the night was the moon. His shade in the winter was the east of the earth and its west. His fruit and his basil were what grew from the earth for the cattle. He had no wife to try him, and no son to grieve him. He had no wealth to distract him, nor greed to abase him. He had no mount to ride but his feet, and none were his servants but his own two hands.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. One of the most important qualities that we as human beings can attain is that of yaqeen, absolute conviction about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the Day of Judgment, about, for example, religion, about the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And we've spoken about yaqeen and the stages of yaqeen in previous episodes. For example, we have the three stages of ilm al-yaqeen, haqq al-yaqeen, and ayn al-yaqeen. You know, the knowledge of certainty, the sight of certainty, and the reality of certainty, if you want to call certainty or conviction. So in this tradition from Imam Ali alayhi salam that we will share with you today, it mentions a result of a certain act that disrupts, or rather destroys, that type of conviction that we have. Again, it depends on the type of conviction that we have. If we have the ultimate type of conviction, you know, it's very difficult for a person actually to that to be removed. So this could actually just be on that lowest level of conviction. The lowest level of the lowest level. For example, we have ilm al-yaqeen, which is the lowest level of conviction, and then the lowest level within that level. Again, as we mentioned, there's a lot of levels, and again, these levels are something that we cannot really speak about. It's something that is experience. It's something that we as individuals will know in ourselves, that how much conviction do I have about this particular point. So in this tradition, Imam Ali alayhi salam
is reported to have said that disputing about religion corrupts conviction. So when a person gets into a heated debate about something, just for the sake of, you know, a debate, if a person has this low level of conviction, obviously those critiques, those, for example, obscurities, those doubts that a person mentions and comes up in this type of discussion, you know, and if he's not able to answer them, obviously his conviction is going to get less. You know, we know of certain people who do not have this type of conviction about religion, got into a gathering where other people were discussing religion, and the dispute got so heated that this person themselves left religion. They did not have the conviction and the ability to understand that, okay, this is an academic discussion, you know, but those doubts flourished inside of him. This dispute about religion as a cause for doubt, for scrutiny, for critique to enter into the heart of an individual. So this is important to understand as people of knowledge. They should not have these academic discussions in front of people who are not able to understand. Because if you're playing with people's beliefs, you know, it's a very dangerous thing if a person doesn't have the conviction about his beliefs in the first place. And also us, in order to increase our conviction and increase our knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that even if we do get into disputes, we are able to defend them. We are able to defend our beliefs and keep that conviction alive. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, a program that broadcasts from Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran. And its aim is to bring the recitation of the Holy Quran into our lives. In this program, first we are going to have some quotes about the Holy Quran by some Western scholars. Then we are going to listen to some verses by famous reciters. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed, is going to analyze the recitation. And at the end, we have a segment called Attractiveness of the Holy Quran, presented by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Stay tuned. In this part, we're going to have some scientists' comments regarding the Noble Quran. Professor Dorja Rao, professor of marine geology at King Abdul Aziz University, Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, has said about the Holy Quran, "It is difficult to imagine that this type of knowledge was existing at that time, around 1400 years back. Maybe some of the things they have simple ideas about. but to describe those things in great detail is very difficult. So this is definitely not simple human knowledge. A normal human being cannot explain this phenomenon in that much detail. So I think the information must have come from a supernatural source. Dear audience, now let's listen to the recitation of Surah Ash-Shams, recited by Sheikh Shaban Abdul Aziz Sayyad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والشمس وضحاها
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. What you're listening to is the program Let's Recite the Quran. You just listened to Surah Shams, recited by Sheikh Shaban Abdul Aziz Sayyad. And now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of tajweed. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والشمس وضحاها والشمس وضحاها. In this verse, all of the letters are letters of tarqiq except the dad. Dhuha, dhuhaha. You have to pronounce it with a full mouth and with the root of the tongue raised. وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ قَمَرِ. The qaf also has tafkhim, so you have to pronounce this also with a full mouth. But everything else is with an empty mouth. إِذَا تَلَاهَا إِذَا تَلَاهَا. وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا We have a noon which is mushaddad, has a shadda in the word an-nahar. So you have to hold it nasally for two vowel counts. Wan-nahari. Wal-layni idha yaghshaha. Yaghshaha the ghain. We have to make sure that we pronounce it correctly. Gha. We use the root of the tongue touching the uvula, and we make this gargling sound. Yaghshaha. Was-samai wama banaha. Was-samai. We have matul muttasil in the word as-sama. We have to lengthen it to four or five vowel counts. Wal-ardi wama tahaha. Wal-ardi wama tahaha. Ta. The ta is the strongest letter in the Arabic language. You have to make sure that we pronounce it with a lot of strength. Ta. Tahaha. Wa nafsin wa ma sawaha. Wa nafsin wa ma. We have idgham al-ghunnah. We have to hold the waw nasally for two vowel counts. Fa alhamaha fujuraha wa taqwaha. Fujuraha. Ra has to be pronounced with tafkheem, even though it's a letter of tarqiq, but it has to be pronounced with tafkheem because it has a fatha. Qad aflaha man zakkaha. Man zakkaha. We have ikhfa of nun sakana. We approximate the place of articulation of the next letter, which is zay. And at the same time, we make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. وَقَدَ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. وَقَدَ خَابَ. خَابَ. We have the highest level of تَفْخِيم in خَابَ. كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ بِطَوَّاهَا. Now here is a little tricky. We have a تَ سَكِنَة followed by ثَ. Their place of articulation is really close. You have to make sure that the ta is heard. كذبت ثمود. كذبت ثمود. ثمود. There should be no idgham. You shouldn't say كذبت ثمود. Okay, and that's it for today's program. We don't have time to continue mentioning the tajweed rules of this surah. Inshallah, in the next program, we will talk about more rules of tajweed in different recitations. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, you're listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, the Quran is a book that can change the life of the one who is in contact with it. In this segment, Brother Yasser Ibrahim is going to tell us stories of those that their lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome back to our segment in which we look at certain stories, anecdotes, narration. They look at the miraculous aspects, or rather that aspect of the Holy Quran that pulls hearts towards it. This is something that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do for us. That yes, we have the Holy Quran in our homes, but how much are we attracted to the Holy Quran? Not to its cover, or how beautiful it is written, how beautiful it is recited, but know that the words actually pull us towards it and cleanses us, which is what we see from all the anecdotes. These people did not believe in Allah. They probably were, some of them were the worst of people. But they understood, and the Quran cleansed them and purified them and let and enabled light to penetrate their hearts. So in continuing our story,
from our last segment of an individual known as Akhtham ibn Sayfi, who sent two individuals to the Holy Prophet. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited to them the 90th verse of the 16th surah of the Holy Quran, that is Surah Nahl, which is that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoys justice and kindness and generosity towards relatives, and forbids indecency, wrong, and aggression until the end of the verse. These two individuals went back, and then this Akhtham, who probably was the head of that tribe, saw the reality and saw the truth from this particular verse, that this individual is not inviting you to anything else but good, and he's not forbidding you from anything else but bad and vice. It is only inviting you towards that which is good for yourself, and he has no benefit for himself. So it is mentioned that this individual, that is Akhtham ibn Sayfi, when he was about to pass away, and he called his family and he called all his relatives, and he gave them a will and a bequest. And he said to them that I advise you to be God conscious. Bitaqwallah. Usikum bitaqwallah. That's what we hear in the Jummah Khutbahs all the time. So I advise you to be God conscious and to maintain your relationships with your relatives. Silatul Raham, which is another very important Islamic aspect. And it then mentions that he said to his family that nothing of these two is built upon something else, meaning they are not secondary matters, they are the foundations of something. And nothing else is built upon them that will vanish or that will disintegrate. No, they are firm. That is what? Taqwa and Silatul Rahim. That is, God consciousness goes hand in hand with maintaining ties with your relatives. And that this, or rather these two aspects, are the foundations of everything else that should be built upon. And if everything else is built upon these two firm pillars, it will never, you know, break or go away. So inshallah, we see the beauty and the power of this verse of the Holy Quran. It is the 90th verse from Surah Nahl. Inshallah, we end here and continue in our next segment, inshallah. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أو يهو بليس استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salamun Alaikum. Now we invite you to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wa Khatimul Mursaleen. سيدنا ونبينا بالقاسم محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين واللانة دائمة الباقي لعدائهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد, sisters and brothers in Iman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. One of the most precious gifts that God gives to human beings is in form of children. They are the apple of our eyes. But at the same time, as the Quran uses the term that your children are a fitna for you. Fitna means a means of test and trial for the parents. God wants to see how you raise your children by guiding them to the right path and keeping them away from the deviations. As a minority in this part of the world, Muslim parents have to constantly deal with peer pressure felt by their children. An example of subtle pressure upon the children is the issue of blending in with the majority in their religious cultural events such as the Christmas celebration. Today being the Christmas day, I would like to talk about this issue. It is true that we believe in Isa alayhi salam as one of the five great prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is no problem in greeting your Christian colleagues and neighbors and friends for their holidays, even saying Merry Christmas, or even giving them gifts on that occasion. But that does not mean that we join with them in their religious cultural ceremonies. Historically, the 25th of December is not even the birthday of Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam. The church leaders actually fixed the 25th of December as his birthday in the fourth century of the common calendar. And they did this out of peer pressure, in a way, to cater to the pressure of the Eastern Roman Empire, who were used to celebrate the day of their previous sun god. They believed in sun as their god. And they used to celebrate the birth anniversary of the sun god on the 25th of December. And so the Christian leaders decided to change it into the birthday of the Son of God. However, it is their faith and their decision, and we don't want to impose our views on them. The Quran talks positively about Jesus and his mother Mary. There is a surah dedicated after Mary. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also praised them in different ahadiths. Yet, the Prophet never celebrated Jesus' birthday, nor he even remotely encouraged Muslims to do so. And definitely, he didn't attend the midnight mass. While Islam promotes mutual respect and peaceful coexistence with followers of other faiths, it wants Muslims to maintain their religious identity and not merge it with other faiths. The Quran clearly says in Surah Al-Kafirun, Surah number 109, where it says, لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَلِيَدِينِي, to you, your religion, and to me, my religion. So the distinctions of our religious identities have to be, maintained properly. When some Muslim children see the Christmas trees and lights in their neighborhoods and in the shopping malls, they ask their parents to also have a Christmas tree in their home. This is the moment of test and trial for the Muslim parents. They have to teach their children that this is a Christian tradition, and we as Muslims don't celebrate Christmas. Perhaps you can decorate your own home on the day of Eid or in Milad al-Nabi by putting on the lights to let your children feel the joy and happiness of our own religious festivals. Some people deceive themselves when they try to make the Christmas tree so-called Islamic by putting the Adam on the top of it. And somebody sent me a picture of that just last week. And they do not realize that this amounts to violating the sanctity of the Adam of Hazrat Abbas alayhi salatu wasalam. The Quran directs a very interesting story which we can relate to this peer pressure here. And this is about the story of the Israelites, the Bani Israel, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had favored in different ways, most importantly by rescuing them from the tyranny of Fir'aun. And the Bani Israel in that process of receiving the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were not only witnesses or you know, just hearing reports about it, they were actually part of the one of the greatest miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that was in form of the parting of the sea. And then Allah also indulged and pampered them with manna and salwa and many other things. And yet, what did the Israelites do? See chapter 7 of the Quran, verses 138 to 141. And this is the exact quotation from the Quran. When we made the children of Israel pass over the sea, they came upon a people who were cleaving to their idols. They were idol worshippers. When the Israelites saw them, they said, Ya Musa ja'al lana ilahan kama lahum aliha. O Musa, make for us a god as they have gods. They were asking him to make an idol like what the other people have. And he responds, according to the words of the Quran, you surely are an ignorant people. As for these people who are worshipping their idols, they are engaged in what they are engaged in shall be shattered, and it will become void in what they are doing. What shall I seek for you a god other than Allah, while he has made you excel above all nations? O children of Israel, do not you remember that we delivered you from the people of Fir'aun, who were imposing upon you evil chastisement, killing your sons and sparing your women? In this was a great trial for you from your Lord. End of the quotation of Quran. So remember the story of the Israelites. When you hear your children saying, make for us a Christmas tree as they have a Christmas tree, and don't pamper them in this manner. I fail to understand some Muslims who have this inferiority complex and feel that they are incomplete without blending in with others in everything. Be proud of your faith. Be proud of being a Muslim, and always remember, lakum dinukum waliya din, to you your religion and to me my religion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep all of you safe under his protection, and may he rid us of this negativity of the coronavirus as soon as possible. Bihaqq Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahim Kareem Azim Alim Halim Hakim Mateen.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. English Radio.
ocean of dua.
أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear listeners, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Rarsi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of The Ocean of Dua. In this version of the program, inshallah, we will discuss the true meaning of prayer and dua, the value of prayer, ways of reaching the Almighty Allah, acceptance, and also benefits of dua. So stay with us. Brothers and sisters, in the previous program, as you may remember, we talked about the point that many supplications have a point of climax and nadir, have a peak and trough of the prayer, and this is just like the journey of the man towards the Almighty Allah, since this is the journey of hope and aspiration. Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn alayhi salam seeks recourse to Allah with three means in this journey, as Allah the Exalted has commanded us to do so. The Holy Quran says, وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ. O you who have faith, be wary of Allah, seek the means of recourse to Him. And the very Quran has said, they themselves are the ones who supplicate, seeking a recourse to their Lord. The means which Imam alayhi salam seeks recourse with to the Almighty Allah are the neediness, the petition, and love. These are what we call in Arabic haja, su'al, and hub. And how excellent is the Imam as the teacher of supplication. He well knows what to ask, how to ask, and where the places of Almighty Allah's mercy are. So the first means is the neediness. Neediness by itself is among the places of Almighty Allah's mercy, and that's why Imam alayhi salam has sought recourse with it to the Almighty Allah. Allah sends down His mercy upon His creatures, even upon animals and plants, without them having asked for it, because that they are in need. The creatures, as the name suggests, are all in need of the Almighty Allah, since they were all created by the Almighty Allah. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So, as they were created by the Almighty Allah, they need upon Him